love-hate relationship. But together, they became the perfect team who set our family free. Growing up, I didn't know the high price my parents had to pay for their religion and my freedom from the Amish religion. It took a basket full of broken dishes that was given to my mother for her inheritance that got my attention. I also saw how my father reacted to his relatives when he would want to give them something, like if their house burnt down or if their barn burnt down, and they weren't allowed to take it from him. And so he said, well, I'll fix that. I'll just give it to the taxi driver. And so then he instructed the taxi driver to give it to them when they got out of the car, that he was supposed to go in the back and give whatever he had to them, and they would accept it then from. So he would find ways to get around all the Amish rules, and he loved them anyways. A man who moved out of town to get away from the bishop's demands did an about-face and moved back and worked right in the middle of Amish country in Middlefield. And then you ask why? Well, you'll have to get the book to find out why. I started to see the love my parents had for their family, even though they were shunned all their life. The silent years of my mother's life were spent in a nursing home for around 7 years. While being blind, paralyzed, and broken down and helpless, through the prayers of my mother, God had a plan for my life before I was born. It was my mother's prayer before I was born. And during the silent years, God used my mother in that nursing home to tell me a story so that I could carry out his plan. While my mother was in the dreaded nursing home, my Amish family would come and visit, and I started to ask questions about the religion, and soon a passion to reach them for the Lord was handed down to me from my father and mother. I come from one of the largest families in Geauga County. I have around 200 first cousins. I was asked to do a family genealogy book, which took me about 5 years to do, and I have the book in the back if anybody wants to check it out. The singer, we found out that we're related, distant relatives. And during those 5 years, it took me 5 years, and during that time, it put me back into my Amish relatives' homes. So the Amish relatives were really excited that I had a book, The Basketful of Broken Dishes, published. But soon after they read it, I began to receive unfavorable letters saying that they wouldn't buy my book, the family genealogy book, which they really wanted. So I, they would buy it from an Amish cousin, and so I gave him all the rights to the book, and he is selling them. So I guess I got a little taste of what my parents went through all their life with shunning. While A Basketful of Broken Dishes is a story about shunning my parents endured, it also encourages sons and daughters who are going through the struggles of taking care of their aging parents. It touches on the hard decisions that we face about death and dying. It reassures, I've had many people who read the book who had gotten out from being Amish. They read the book and was really, it reassures them, the former Amish, that they didn't make the wrong decision to leave the Amish-driven rules, rule-driven religion. They find strength by the examples of my father and mother. The book is a true life story that informs people of the truth about the Amish religion instead of Amish, the romance novels that are so popular with the world right now. Fantasizing that the Amish is a holy, righteous, religious religion that have a blissful life. The book lifts up the brokenhearted who feel that they are a failure in life because of all their broken dreams. The story paints a picture of true perseverance even in the face of life's trials. It inspires you to keep going when you feel like giving up. This would be a wonderful book to give out to your friends, but also a great book to give to your mother for Mother's Day. And this book can also be used as a track. It has a prayer that gives an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And all the money goes to MAPS. So if you're buying it, it all goes to MAPS Ministry. And so A Basketful of Broken Dishes, it was an earthly inheritance, but it was filled with heavenly treasures. Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. Joseph and Stacy are heading back to Colorado in just about an hour or two. Okay. So be sure to go to his table. Jennifer, where's Jennifer at? Are you up, guys, up next? Come on down. But be sure to go to the table, sign up, follow. I hope you show the film in your churches. I hope you get behind it. Support it. I mean, they're looking for support. And so just talk to them. And now we have Jennifer and her passion for...
Okay. We'll try to make this short and sweet because I don't like being in front of the microphone. We started writing about 3 years ago, and we are J, E, and B, Spreademan. And it started out with us reading books, and we were, like so many others, drawn to the Amish. But them being younger, BG had... I know I'm getting this all mixed up. BG had one day, she said to me, "Why don't they make books like this for people my age?" And I said, "Well, I did a little bit of research, found out that there were very few." And so the result was, I basically said, "Why don't we do it?" And so we started writing our own. And one of the main things that we always put in the books is the gospel, because that's the reason why we write. And I don't know if you've read a lot of Amish fiction books or fiction, Christian fiction in general, but there's a lot of them, there's not really any message in it, or it's, you know, follow your heart or whatever. People can actually get saved by reading these. So anyways, we have this An Unforgivable Secret. It's not fluffy at all. It's more of a serious topic. They're actually, the whole Amish Secret series is. And we have it for a free ebook. So if you don't want to, if you want to see what it's all about, don't want to pay any money, get one of these. And we've given out probably, let's see, about 120,000 free ebooks, and we've gotten many. If you think that the gospel can't be preached and lost people can't be reached through fiction, which, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't know, it's fiction, you know, I don't know if I'll really like it. But Jesus told parables, stories that the people can relate to, and so I kind of hope that in a way I'm kind of doing the same thing, you know, illustrating a truth and sharing God's love through this. And yeah, if you don't believe that lost people will reach them, go and read my one-star reviews, because there's a lot of people that don't like the message. So, which is, praise the Lord, they're hearing the gospel. And anyways, we have just a few books out there, and the bookmarks are free. Girls, do you want to add anything to it? No? Yes? Oh, yeah. That's what I was supposed to say first. Joe, thank you for putting on this conference. It is a blessing to us, to everybody. I hope it is. And we're all here for the same reason, I think, and that's to reach the Amish, and not just the Amish, but everybody with the gospel. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, Dan Lash. Met Dan Lash in Chicago at a conference 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? And Dan's, Pastor's wife is here. Yeah. Anyways, I was going to tell you, notice the pictures on the front of Jennifer's books. She puts her own daughters on some of them. And and my wife has read them. She loves the books, so...
I'm Pastor Dan Lash of Weston Street Bible Church in Rome City. My wife, Cindy, she helps me edit all the books. We have a ministry out there. It's called Quick Reads, Bible Doctrine Made Concise. And so what we're hoping, and just let me give you a little bit of my background. I was saved in 1977, walked a church aisle 100 times to be saved. That's not an exaggeration, folks. In a fundamental Baptist church, never understood the gospel. Because every time I'd walk forward, they'd tell me, well, you've got to do this, you've got to pray this prayer. Nobody ever explained to me the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ made himself responsible for my sin debt, dealt with that sin debt, and satisfied God about that sin debt, and all I had to do was receive that as a free gift. Nobody ever explained that to me. So when I understood that finally and got saved, I still had a lot of garbage in my soul about false gospel professions that had to be weeded out, which really gave birth to my ministry, gave birth to my pastorate, and it's been my passion ever since to explain the gospel clearly as I could. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the value of that to you. That's what it's all about. And so these books really that I've written are all written to defend the gospel. The first book I've got is Am I Secure in Christ? If you look at this picture, it's a guy in our church did this. It's a picture of Noah hanging on the outside of their ark. Okay. And it's kind of poking fun at what some people believe about salvation, that you get saved and then you got to hold on and endure. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm far too prone to sin all too often, as the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, set aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. We're all easily ensnared by sin. So if there is no security in Christ, there's no salvation at all. So the purpose of this book is to defend the doctrine of eternal security in Christ, once saved, always saved. When we believe on Jesus as our sin-bearing substitute, we're placed in Christ and we're secured forever. And one portion of this book, the second half of the book, are verses which seemingly refute the doctrine of security explained. And all the tough ones are in there. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Having your name blotted out of the book of life, they're all in here. So pick up this book, and if you will. The second book we've got is called Tiptoeing Through the Tulip, A Biblical Perspective on Election. Now, five-point Calvinism teaches that God from eternity past has chosen certain people to be saved to the exclusion of others. Okay, and it also teaches that Christ has only died for some, for the elect. Well, what this book does is deconstructs those arguments and reconstructs them from a biblical perspective. And if Christ has only died for some, then he might not have died for you. And when we are giving the gospel, what we're trying to do is persuade people that Jesus really did die for you. He really did pay your sin debt. He really did make your peace with God. He really did settle that for you. And all you've got to do is believe it. That's the gospel. And so this book defends the gospel and deconstructs Calvinism and reconstructs it from a biblical perspective. The next book we've got is Plan A, Interpreting the Gospel in Light of the Anticipation of the Kingdom. Now, this is kind of a tough book, but one thing that I believe that we need to do is make a distinction between the preaching of John the Baptist and the preaching of the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul was chosen when he was to be an apostle for a reason, and the Apostle Paul is the apostle to us Gentiles. And so the gospel that he presents is the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel that John the Baptist preached was the gospel of the kingdom. That is, the next major event that was going to occur was the kingdom. And Jesus and John the Baptist taught as if that was the next event to occur. So you can get confused if you don't keep that fact straight when you're reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They're teaching as if the next event in the history of the world is going to be the kingdom. Well, it wasn't, because we know that Christ, at the end of his ministry, withdrew the kingdom offer from the Jews and said, okay, now I'm going to reach the world through the church, and that's us. But you have to understand that, because if you don't understand that, you would be tempted to interject works into the gospel. And so this book distinguishes the gospel of the kingdom from the gospel of the grace of God. The next book I have here, and by the way, all these books are free. All these books are free. They're free for the taking, no strings attached. The next book I have is called Apostolic Authority and Its Relation to the Modern Charismatic Movement. Now, this is my most popular book. There's not too many left back there. But basically what this book does, and let me just briefly say, in most church doctrinal statements, we have a statement that says we believe in the final authority of Scripture. Other doctrinal statements say we believe in the sole authority of Scripture. This book purports the sole source of Scripture. That is, the Bible and the Bible alone is the sole source for faith and doctrine and practice. And it refutes the idea that people today are receiving a revelation outside of the Word of God. Eternity's too long and hell's too hot to gamble the eternal destiny of your soul on what someone else is saying they're receiving directly from God. The only revelation that we can trust the eternal destiny of our souls to today is the Bible as the Word of God. And this apostolic authority says the Bible is the sole source for faith, doctrine, and practice. It's the only thing that we need to pay attention to be saved. Since I am running out of that book, there's a final book I have here that is absolutely free. It's called The Age to Come. The next dispensation after the Great Tribulation, you know, after the rapture of the church, after the Great Tribulation, is a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. He's going to rule and reign over the world with a rod of iron, and the world won't like it. But anyway, this book is about the characteristics of that next dispensation. David talked a whole lot about it. And the Lord talks a lot about it in the book of Revelation. That's what this book is about. All those books are free. And I'd like to personally thank Joe for allowing us to come. I know there's always some apprehension when you're really drilling down on the doctrine. But I am a teaching pastor, and that's what we do. So and thank you for letting me share my ministry with you.
Thank you. Jim Elder. Jim Elder is the last one before we listen to two testimonies. Jim has a display back there, and I just wanted him to share.
Is it okay if I switch
yeah,
to that
that's
one?
Fine. Yeah.
Okay, I probably will. Okay. Thank you, Brother Joe, for having this. What an amazing work he has going on. Amen?
Amen.
We've heard some amazing stories, some powerful testimonies coming up, I'm sure. What have you heard that's at the foundation of everything that happens here? The Word of God. Amen? And my wife Stella and I are with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And I got to tell you, if we weren't missionaries when we came in here, I'd leave today signing up to be a missionary. So we represent the global picture of what Brother Joe and his team are doing here. And we heard yesterday a little bit about a revival that we're seeing amongst the Amish community. Is that right? We're seeing that is happening globally. It's happening globally. Brothers and sisters, this is it. This is your time. This is your time. So plug in with Brother Joe if your heart is being knit that way. We got to go now. And here's the important thing I want to say. And I'm going to go to the Father's Word for this. I want you to hear it from him. Galatians chapter 3. And turn there if you have a copy of the Word. And I hope you do. An amazing privilege to have the Word in a language we understand. We just heard about the importance of Bible translation, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you about how important Bible translation is. You've already heard that. Stop by and see us at the table. We'd love to share more with you about how that looks globally. I just want to read briefly Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Listen, missions is all about the body of Jesus Christ working together as one. And we are having an amazing time here learning about one portion of the body. We got to work with them. Because at the end, and we have the end of the book, at the end of this, missions will only be accomplished by the body of Christ using his word. It will not be accomplished by Wycliffe Bible Translators or the Grace Brethren Churches or the MAPS Ministries. It's going to be accomplished by us working together as the body of Christ in obedience to the Great Commission. We get to be a part of that, and we're going to get to be a part of that in the last days. I've often wondered, what's it going to be like to talk to the apostles when we get to heaven so we can say, what was it like in the beginning? And as we watch the world stage unfold and we watch events happen within the communities that we live in, I wonder if they're going to look at us and say, what was it like to be there at the end? Get involved. And please stop by and say hello. And thank you, Brother Joe, and all of you who have shared your hearts for the Amish community and what's happening. We're excited to be a part of that too. And by the way, I need to share with you that Brother Joe and I have crossed paths a couple times a year for several years. I'm with the Homerville Grace Brethren Church, and we're privileged to be partners with you in what you're doing. And last summer, Brother Joe and I now have a special bond. You need to know this. We got to roll around on the floor together at Vacation Bible School and share the word of Christ with our youth. And when Brother Joe was talking, eyes lit up. So thanks for that. Thank all of you. Let me pray with you. Bow your heads with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, a moment of silence so as not to rush into your presence and to remind us that many people live in silence without your word, not only Amish people, but people throughout the world. And we are here because we are all missionaries. Father, we know that missionaries are not a special group of people set apart from Christians to do special Christian work, but Christians are a special group of people set apart by you to do missions. I pray that you would write that on our hearts, and I pray that you would let us all leave from here more excited and more willing to be a part of what you are doing in a more bold and courageous way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you. We want to have two testimonies, and I'm honored to bring Ephraim Stolzfus.